Hello and welcome to episode 21 of The Big Rewind, the show where we talk about new movies, anime, occasionally, and rewind back to talk about older movies and retro-themed topics. I'm here with my co-host, Jamie. I'm trying to do a radio voice. Jamie.
Hello,
the cat.
Everyone.
How's it going? Yes, today we're going to go straight into the big news for this week, because we got a lot to talk about in our big review.
Yes,
So much stuff. We want to try and cram some anime stuff in for Anime Month, which is going on my blog right now.
The arbitrary necessities to name months therefore give us the ability to talk about it.
To be more without focused any premise. Than usual. The big news.
Yes.
I've got an exclusive for you, Jamie.
It's not really an exclusive.
Something I learned.
It can't be an exclusive.
No.
Because you read it somewhere.
I heard it somewhere.
Yes. But unless
from
you,
a podcast. Unless
you, yeah, but that's not first-hand research, so it's not an exclusive.
I know. It's an exclusive to you, because you don't know about it.
Yeah, but everything is, because I'm an ignorant fool most of the time.
That's like the concept of this show.
Yes. Tell me.
I should have called it Jamie Don't Know Shit.
Come on.
There was an event. There was a Q&A that was organized. A Man of Steel related Q&A.
Yeah.
Where you had Zack Snyder, Amy Adams, and whatever the fuck his name is. Superman.
Yeah.
Don't say yep. What's his name?
Cavill.
Oh, yeah. Henry Cavill. And they even had a video of Michael Shannon talking. It's all to promote.
Shannon.
It's all to promote the release of Man of Steel, the DVD.
Yes.
Blu-ray.
Yes.
And they had Kevin Smith introducing it, blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
And they revealed nothing. They were going to reveal some stuff. They didn't reveal anything. You sit through this hour-long fucking special.
Yeah.
They talk shit, and they don't reveal anything. There's just some artwork that someone did, but it's not even for the film.
Oh.
Of Batman and Superman, so that was useless. Okay. But
yes.
Kevin Smith later on his podcast revealed something.
What?
He revealed that Zack Snyder showed him something on his phone after.
Yes.
He was like, let me show you this. It's a picture of the Batman suit, the new Batman suit. Not only that, but it's on Ben Affleck. Okay. There's no pictures been released, obviously.
Yeah.
But according to Kevin Smith, he's hinted that it's going to be more like the old Batman suit.
Oh, what? Well, you can't turn your neck.
No. The grey one, probably.
Grey?
You know, the grey.
Oh, right. Oh, you mean the 60s?
Yeah, obviously, like a more buffed up version of that. But
wow, that's bold.
Yeah,
if not stupid.
I mean, personally, I've never liked the grey suit.
No, I've never liked the grey suit. Because he goes out at night.
Yes, I've never liked that grey suit. But I guess it's never been done in
unless movies. They are literally gonna make a campy 60s remake of Batman.
No, we have Batman and Robin already.
And like Adam West could have like a little cameo.
I hope that happens. It's unlikely.
They should have a cameo in all of them.
Really, they should have done that, yeah. If Stan Lee can get a cameo in everything.
Every Marvel film, yeah.
Come on, give Adam West something. Anyway, that was the exclusive, so.
Cool.
We'll probably see a retro
How
Batman.
Is that exclusive? I don't understand. We know Ben Affleck's going to be Batman.
We know that. But we don't know anything about the suit or what's
going
to happen.
Oh, right. Okay.
There you go.
Okay.
You're not that excited about it.
No, because it's Ben Affleck.
You're just like Ben fucking Affleck.
Yeah.
In other news, Disney and Netflix.
Yes.
They're teaming up.
To do more horrible stuff.
Like Tintin and Snowy.
Oh, no. Like
Jason and the Argonauts.
I always forget. Does Disney own Tintin?
Like Batman and Robin.
Does Disney own Tintin?
No.
No, good.
Spielberg owns Tintin.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Anyway, they're teaming up to make not one, not two, but four miniseries.
Four.
Based on Marvel superheroes.
Animated?
No.
Just
actual miniseries. Probably not in the vein of Arrow. Probably something a bit better.
Yeah.
So
I thought you were going to say they were going to do an animated X-Men series.
Nope.
Oh.
There's going to be a 13-part Daredevil miniseries.
13 part?
Yes.
Is Ben Affleck in it?
No. I knew you'd ask that. He's Batman. I actually like that. I like the idea of a 13-part miniseries rather than like 9 seasons of Smallville. That's yeah, or 11. Yeah. How many there were?
Yeah, but you know if
an
it's
unnecessary
popular.
Amount.
No, you know if it's popular, they'll end up doing 100 episodes.
It's unlikely. But there's going to be Daredevil, Iron Fist.
That sounds so wrong.
Yes.
That sounds like Love Fist from GTA, which is a fake rock band in the universe of GTA.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Luke Cage, which could be interesting. That's where Nicolas Cage got his name from that character. Luke Cage.
Really?
Yeah. His name's Coppola.
No, I know, but I didn't know that's where he got it from.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Learn something.
He's a big comic book geek. And Jessica Jones, which I'd never heard of, but I think he's a character from the Spider-Man, you know, world. So, whatever. So, there's that.
So, they're not spin-offs?
No, no.
They're actual superhero miniseries with different people.
Exactly.
Okay.
That could be
all right. Well,
we haven't seen Luke Cage done properly.
It's Disney, so I'm going to hate it anyway, but give it a chance at least.
Yeah. We'll give it a go. It sounds better than Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, God, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, sounds better.
Oh, it's so bad.
I do like Daredevil as a character, because I think there's potential to make it good.
Yeah, yeah, because no one's done it right yet.
Not as right as it could have been.
Yeah.
There's good things about the movie, but there's many bad things, too.
Yeah.
Speaking of miniseries, Robert Rodriguez...
Yes.
...is launching his own miniseries.
Interested.
Based on one of his movies.
Not Planet Terror. Please, Planet Terror.
No. You have to guess what movie it is.
Once Upon a Time in Mexico.
No.
Dusk Till Dawn.
Yes.
Yay!
And it'll follow the movie quite closely. But
that's brilliant. I like that.
That could be cool.
That could be cool.
Yeah.
No, he could basically show up all vampire crap. In that, you know,
yeah, could,
it'd just be, oh, Twilight, fuck that. Yeah, here's proper vampires.
Yeah.
Here's sexy, blood-drinking,
ugly
fornicating vampires.
That could be good.
You know, Blade-type vampires.
Blade. Yeah, something like that.
Cool.
So
next, you're going to tell me there's a Blade miniseries with Wesley Snipes.
Actually, there isn't.
No.
No.
Damn.
Sorry. 20th Century Fox.
Yes.
Oh my god, these assholes. They want another Wolverine movie. From the same team that did The Wolverine.
Oh, come on.
It's not going to be in Japan, I guess. Again, I guess. But
what else are they going to tackle? What else are they going to do?
You know what they're going to do? They're going to do a whole movie just to give him back the metal claws. Probably.
Oh, I see.
Because they did a whole movie to undo that.
No, but hang on a sec. So what... I don't understand. What is he going to do in the film? The
new
X-Men. X-Men film?
Well, we get to see older Wolverine with the metal claws. So they're going to try and fill in that gap.
But I thought it was directly after Wolverine. Because you see...
No,
you see
I don't think
Magneto
so.
And...
Oh, yeah, you're right.
You see Magneto at the end of the film with Patrick Stewart as Xavier.
Oh, yeah.
So...
I don't think
I thought
that
was.
Had
I thought that was the
it.
Kind of the little bit of a teaser. Oh yeah, the film. You know, the new X-Men.
Because I guess if he's got the bone claws, does that mean he can get?
Do the bones grow back, but not the metal? Is that is?
Yeah.
Can that happen? And that be
no.
a bit weird. But
I don't know.
Still,
they're fucking up and filling up gaps with entire movies.
I know.
I don't know why they're doing that. So okay. I'm not really looking forward to that. I think they should put that franchise to rest.
Well, no, it's not that. It's just don't make films solely on Wolverine, you know. Make him a part of something.
Yeah, or make a film about another fucking X-Men.
Yeah, all that. Not Cyclops.
I like Cyclops.
I know you do.
Just make a
Cyclops.
Gambit movie.
Gambit movie would be good.
Like a Gambit and Rogue movie. That could be cool.
Gambit and Rogue movie.
Director Justin Lin, who is known for Fast and Furious 3, 4...
Yeah.
5 and 6.
Yeah.
He's been handed the keys. Car keys.
Number 8?
No.
Oh.
To the Bourne franchise. So we could expect Jeremy Renner's Bourne franchise to get pretty silly pretty soon. That could be good. That's
good thing, bad thing.
Could be a good way to take it, because it's stagnating at the moment.
Well, the thing is, there are no more books as far as I know. So they're making it up as they go now.
Yeah, yeah.
Rather than any kind of wider narrative.
They could make it more of a Bond-style series, I guess.
I didn't really like Legacy. Yeah. I thought it was
boring.
So.
It looked a bit generic.
But it didn't have the same suspense or action as the first three, though the first one is my favourite.
Yeah, it's still the best one.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Again, another series to put it to rest.
Yeah.
Come up with something else.
They really could. I don't know. Yeah. I don't think... did Legacy do that well? Probably not.
It did okay on the name. Yeah, it doesn't mean the next one's gonna do okay.
I don't hear people, you know, still talking about Legacy. Like, hey, remember Legacy? It's like, no one's gonna... I don't think it's worth it. David Cronenberg, who made Cosmopolis last year, which I hated.
Did you?
And I love David Cronenberg.
Yeah.
But that film sucked ass.
Yeah.
His latest will be called Maps to the Stars.
Okay.
And it
sounds a little bit pretentious.
That's the problem with the last one, so I'm a bit scared. This will be like an ensemble satire on Hollywood, LA, all that stuff.
And it'll
star Robert Pattinson again from Cosmopolis.
Yeah. And he's a good actor.
Robert Pattinson?
Yeah.
Twilight?
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah.
Since when?
I don't know.
You've lost your mind. You've lost your balls.
Sorry. I got you going, though.
Yeah, you son of a bitch. You didn't sit through Cosmopolis. It was painful.
Sorry. Oh, God. I convinced you, though,
Someone opens his ass and looks through it in that movie.
Oh, dear.
You don't get to see it, but...
No, yeah,
I didn't need to even think about that. John Cusack will be in it as well. So
Actually, he's a good actor.
Yeah, yeah.
Cusack is a decent actor.
He might be able to...
Maybe he can teach Robert Pattinson how to be a decent actor.
He might actually save the movie.
Yeah.
We're getting into anime news now.
Cool.
You ready?
Yep.
A 3-minute trailer.
Yes.
Has been released for... I think it's a new Studio Ghibli film.
Ooh.
It'll be by Isao Takahata.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And it'll be called The Story of Princess Kaguya.
Mm.
Which in Japanese reads... I'm going to mess it up.
Go on.
Kaguya Hime no Monogatari.
Okay. No, that was okay.
Yeah.
I assume that's
As far as you know.
I'm assuming that's sort of based on an actual Japanese folktale.
It is.
Yeah.
Yes. It's... I think it's actually online. You can find it online, I guess. But the film is a retelling of the popular Japanese folktale, The Tale of the Bamboo Cutter.
Okay.
And it follows a princess named Kaguya who is discovered inside the stalk of a bamboo plant. Have you seen the trailer?
No, I haven't. I'm going to have to go search for that.
It's kind of a weird... It's like really arty. Like the look of it is almost painted. It's like...
Oh, yeah.
Almost like watercolors. So it's they've
kind of done that before.
So. Yeah, they did it with the Yamadas. My neighbor, the Yamadas. Yeah. So it's kind of weird looking, but it looks nice. And it's really weird. They find this little girl in a plant, and then she turns into a baby.
Yeah.
And then grows up.
Yeah, no, that's... Yeah.
And probably some...
I've heard of this folktale before.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Probably some Japanese folktales
are pretty cool, actually.
Yeah. Is it really tragic? It might...
Oh, most of them are quite tragic. Okay. Yeah.
Because I don't know how it ends.
That's why you can't really call them fairy tales as such. They're more folk tales, I guess.
Mm. And but it'll be in cinemas. It should be on the 23rd of November. Maybe not in England.
Not here.
In other places.
Yeah.
But the director said, he's revealed he expects that Hayao Miyazaki might not be really retired after all.
Yeah, again. Obviously. Yeah, well.
Is he asking for more money? Doesn't he own the studio?
Yeah, he does. So it's like, I don't know.
No, apparently it was because he was afraid that, because he was quite old, that he wouldn't be able to complete something. But then...
Maybe he's just advising them, you know?
But then this director's older than him.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, right. I didn't know that.
He's like 78.
Oh, okay.
So,
Well, you know, we don't know his health. So.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe there's something.
If he wants to do it, he'd do whatever he wants. When you're that age, do whatever you want.
Yeah. It would be nice for him to make more, but...
Yeah, but that's our own selfish...
Exactly.
You know. wants and needs.
He might want to do something else. Yeah. So we don't know about that. The 25th anniversary edition of Akira
is being
released on DVD and Blu-ray.
And why should anyone care?
I don't know. You know, probably has 12,000 versions of it in there.
Well, I've...
4 hours of edit footage. Just like, fuck, Akira's long.
Yeah, well...
Which version do you have? You already have a
Blu-ray. I have a Blu-ray version of it, yeah, and it has, like, 3 audio tracks and subtitles. And
that's probably enough.
It has some extra bonus bits and pieces, but it's not... You know, the film is what you want to watch for that one. There's not... There is a mini sort of documentary about the making of. It's not terribly great quality, but... Because it was, you know, it was made back in 86.
Oh, yeah.
But it's, you know, it's... I mean, it's interesting to hear about what they did and how absolutely painstaking it was to animate Akira. Yeah. Because Akira is beautiful, action-packed film that was made in the traditional way of animation.
Yeah.
What I mean by that is they drew every single frame.
That's messed up.
Okay? So if you can imagine it's like 24 frames a second, how many seconds there are, how many minutes there are, it's over an hour and something.
Yeah.
And that's how many frames they had to do.
They don't make them like they used to.
And they they tend not to now.
Yeah.
And I mean literally draw, then photograph.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? That's how fucking painstaking it was. No, oh, I've digitized it and I can do the color on the computer. No, get your fucking pencils out and do it.
That's messed up.
Yeah, I know.
Because that film looks good.
Yeah, but it kind of, you know, it was a major, it's an epic in that sense of a production. So, in the animation universe.
World. I don't know if you've heard about this. You probably know more about this than me, but Internet Explorer, apparently they have a new mascot.
Why do we care?
Because it's an anime-style girl character.
What?
I know. She's got like a bionic arm. Well,
you just mean in Japan, right? Not in the world. Just Japan.
I think in the world.
Really?
Japan's in the world.
Because Japan has anime mascots for fucking everything. Oh,
yeah.
So
I don't know. I think that's international.
Okay, that's
just... But they've even named the character Inori Aizawa.
Okay.
And she fights robot and she pets cats and shit.
And what the fuck does this have to do with anything of Internet Explorer?
She's exploring the inner depths of the interwebs. With a cat.
I'll just piss off. Internet Explorer still sucks to this day, okay?
If you
haven't moved on to Firefox, Chrome, or whatever your fancy is, and you're still using Internet Explorer, you're just silly.
Yeah. Oh. You don't know more than me about this. And you're the internet geek.
Not when it comes to Internet Explorer.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Seriously.
You moved on like 80 years ago.
Like I might have seen that headline and then just quickly moved to away from it because it was about Internet Explorer. Why do I care?
Fair enough. That's a good point.
It's also marketing. I don't really care about.
You just know they'll end up making an anime film of that character. Regardless.
Yeah.
Can you believe that's all the news we've got? Can you believe it? It's just that we haven't talked for ages about them, but that was actually a lot of news.
Yeah, there was loads of news.
But which means we have more time to talk about the big review for this week.
Yep. Astronaut is off structure. What do I do? Dr. Stone is off structure. What do I do? Dr. Stone's attached. No. You must be attached. You don't attach that arm to the carry you too far. Listen to my voice. You need to focus. I'm losing visual of you. In a few seconds, I won't be able to track you.
The big review, which is Gravity. Gravity, a film that
you totally understood the gravity of the situation.
I did. I'm gonna try to bring some gravitas to this.
Oh, shut up!
To this whole review, but I can't guarantee anything.
Oh, okay.
It's a grave thing. which we experienced there.
Yes.
The critically acclaimed cocksucked Gravity.
So Isaac Newton would be rolling in his grave at this moment.
Yeah. Well, he'd be flying in his grave. Floating in his grave.
Floating in his grave. Because what Sir Isaac Newton, as we all know, discovered zero gravity before he died.
Yeah. That's what this movie would have you believe.
Yeah.
Wrongly. Well, I really like the scene where Isaac Newton...
No, shut up.
Saves George Clooney from the space sharks.
You're making up this.
That actually happens.
No, it doesn't. Shut up.
Film opens... Underwater in space.
Underwater in space.
Point of view shot. George Clooney swimming.
How do we know it's in space?
And then reverse shot. Isaac Newton flying through the water towards Clooney. And Clooney's like, my God.
I've got to stop taking LSD.
And then it cuts to the actual movie.
Yeah.
And it's never referenced again.
Yeah, it's just weird.
Sandra Bullock was just like, are you all right? And Clooney's like, oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I was Batman.
That should have been one of his little stories in the film.
Once I had to wear these fake nipples and fight a lady dressed in green.
Yeah.
Freeze, you're mad.
Sorry. I'm...
High freeze, I'm Batman. He actually said that.
High freeze.
Like, hi.
High freeze, I'm about to defeat you.
High freeze, I'm Batman. What the fuck? Anyway, Gravity. Critics love this movie because it's an Oscar whore.
Oh, yeah. Already know it's going to win at least 6 Oscars.
Yeah. Because, you see, it's set in space. No other film has been set in space before it. This is brand new.
Not only no other film had been set in space, but no other film with Sandra Bullock.
Yeah.
In space.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you know what? There are a couple of films I like Sandra Bullock in, okay? This is not one of them, by the way.
It's not usually because of Sandra Bullock, though.
Not necessarily, but do you know what Sandra Bullock can sometimes be good as?
Annoying characters?
Not only that, but a comic actor. She can be a good comic actor.
I agree, yeah.
Demolition Man, I like, okay?
Yeah.
And I like her in it.
Fair enough.
And Speed.
Speed, yeah.
I like her in Speed, and I like
Speed. Can't argue with Speed.
Okay? Not Speed 2, Cruise Control.
Now, I know you're a big fan of Miss Congeniality 2.
No. 2? Why 2? I haven't seen...
Because I hear it's worse.
I have watched the first one.
I've watched the first
one. Oh, dear.
I think the first one has Shatner in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was funny.
Okay. Anyway, moving on to the general themes of Gravity.
Ugh. Sorry.
So, they're in space. We get that. Obviously.
That's the tagline of the film. They're in space.
What should we tackle first? Should we tackle sound, special effects?
Well, let's start from the beginning and talk about sound, because the film opens
with the
deafening sound, and then it cuts to silence.
Yes.
Now, first of all, ow, my ears.
Yeah, no, it was deafening. It was all right, but it was deliberately deafening.
Yeah.
But it does do that a couple of more times in the film.
A couple more. Every time something happens. Boom. It's like, ow, what the fuck? I hate the sound in this movie.
No, I did too. Mainly because it sets up a premise, which I actually like.
Yeah.
Which is that silence can be intensifying. It can be tense.
I do like that idea.
Growing, you know, it can create a atmosphere of suspense. Anyway,
now George Clooney's character, he listens to some country music you hear. Yeah. That could have been interesting if the whole film had been silent.
Yeah,
and then you hear this sound, and it's kind of weird.
Yes, offbeat. But that almost makes a bit more sense because it's generated by the characters.
Exactly,
it's part of the dialogue, and it's also treated so it sounds like. It's part of the radio chatter.
Yeah.
And I don't... And within the first 15 minutes of the film, I don't mind the radio chatter.
Yeah.
Because you need it
like you need the sort of basic sort of mundane conversations to set up the premise of the characters, and that's fine, and I don't mind that.
Yeah.
But what I don't understand is why they don't use the music and sound effectively to communicate their isolation and the necessary nature of space, which is obviously no transmission of sound.
When something happens
the
first time, they bring in the score, and the score is but deafening.
The score is deafening, but it's also timed. So when explosions and impacts happen, you hear that literally in the sound of the music.
Yeah.
So it's as if you have an explosion anyway.
Yeah.
So it makes no difference that it is the actual explosion noise or the soundtrack. So,
I mean, the problem I have...
for me, completely detracts from the actual impact.
Yeah, the main problem I have with that is that the film's trying to be all symbolic and have all these metaphors and be all arty.
Yes.
But...
pretentiously.
Yeah. But then it puts this music on when it doesn't need to be. Like, you've got this silence.
Yeah.
Like, at one point, George Clooney is like... What I'm gonna miss is the silence, and then it cuts to the score going.
Yeah, exactly.
Silence music.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's a sad moment. There's music in the background.
Brave enough. It felt like they weren't brave enough. They thought, okay, we're allowed to have 3 seconds of silence, and then we've got to have something because the audience is gonna switch off and everything's gonna go wrong.
It's like no, because that's part of the concept that you're introducing.
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
That's a missed opportunity to do something daring and different.
Absolutely.
Like, if you have... there's a scene where Sandra Bullock is, like, she's... well, spoilers, by the way, whatever.
Oh, yeah. Well,
she's on her own. She thinks she's lost. Like, nothing she can do. And there's sad music in the background. If you had her just completely isolated, no sound whatsoever, it would have been... it would have been more emotionally impactful.
Or if you're going to have sound, have it so subtle it's almost like silence.
Like a static
kind of sound, like a static or a hum or something, just to give some atmosphere.
Or
something
like an alien, the kind of beep, beep.
Humming. Little bits just to give some atmosphere, but also show that she is clearly alone in what she's doing.
Yeah.
And... they don't do this. They literally try and deafen you at every single point during this film.
Exactly. I think because it tries to do two things. It tries to be arty and kind of tell this story.
Do you know what? I disagree with that. I disagree with it. Not necessarily trying to be arty. I agree with that. It's trying, but I can't agree with you that it is arty.
Oh, no, it's not.
I've seen a few reviews saying this is sort of kind of art house.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, it's not. Exactly. Because you have massive explosions, you have gratuitous shots of women, you have gratuitous shots of heroes, you have gratuitous shots.
Oh, there's a shot where the camera pans up and it's this hero shot of someone standing. And it's just like... that's so Hollywood. Like,
it's completely gratuitous. It's not art house at all.
It wants to be arty, but then it's got all these weird ass blockbuster moments, which are not very...
And the beauty of this film does not come from the lighting or the art direction or the framing.
Yeah.
It comes from the environment naturally. It's like saying, it's like going into a meadow and going, oh, when I took a picture of the meadow, isn't the picture beautiful? No, the meadow is beautiful. Right? Earth from space is beautiful. It doesn't mean this film is beautiful.
Mm.
Okay? Because they didn't add anything to it to make it any more additionally, you know, better.
I didn't think there was that much style to it.
That's what I'm saying. There isn't really much style to it.
If she's spinning in...
basic.
She's spinning in space, the camera spins around.
Yeah.
And they try to do point of view shots. Like, they go through the glass of her helmet and then they turn around to look through her eyes. It's a bit forced. Like,
oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's not very interesting. Like,
if you want to see a film, and this is in no way a comparison because I know a lot of people have done this comparison. If you want to see beautiful shots in space...
yes.
Watch 2001 A Space Odyssey. Most people have probably already seen it.
Yeah.
By the, obviously, epic god director, Kubrick. because his shots in space, some of them really convey isolation and loneliness and space as a terrifying thing, you know, by shot direction as well as because there's one shot of when one of the astronauts gets knocked away by Hal. And it's quite a long shot, and you just see him kind of almost disappear into the nothingness of space. And there's nothing in this.
I think they tried to
take the time and effort and to actually construct a beautiful shot. Do you know what I mean? It's lots and lots of things in your face, literally. Yeah. Most of the time.
The only time where they try is when they do that fetus shot where she's like floating in her bubble for ages.
Is obvious, and it doesn't. It completely detracts from the narrative and story
and
of
the urgency.
Yeah, because the thing is, at that point in the film, she knows within 90 minutes she's about to be bombarded by shrapnel again,
and possibly
die. And it's like, well, you wouldn't be floating around pretending to be a baby, would you?
Because there's so many points in this where she's taking her friggin' time.
Yeah.
And at the end, she shows that she can do stuff quickly.
Yes, she does. To. Yeah.
So it's just like, oh, you were just being lazy then.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, because this, okay, this, your enjoyment of this movie will kind of depend on what you think of the character of Sandra Bullock. If you kind of feel bad for the character and you can identify with her, you'll probably enjoy the film more than we did.
Who can identify with her?
I don't know how.
She's like one of the most uniquely positioned people that doesn't exist in the real world. She's only 6 months trained, like technical specialist in, what was it?
I don't know.
What does it matter? Like, she's a technical specialist in space. She's had very little training. She used to be a mother, we assume single mother. Name me a single mother astronaut.
I don't know.
Look, I'd love it if there were loads of single mother astronauts. But one this, like, emotionally unstable?
Yeah, that's the main problem. That she's
how can
really
you identify with this person?
I don't know. It's not... I don't know what they're trying. I mean, I know what they're trying to do. They're trying
pulling the heartstrings. They're just they're grabbing your heart, and they're like, "Oh, you haven't had it squeezed enough yet. No, the juice has come out."
Because they want to do that. They want to also do like complete their metaphor, where she's like quite childish at the beginning, and then by the end, she's a grown woman.
Yeah,
type of thing.
Yeah,
and
it only took the death of her father figure.
Yes,
George Clooney.
Oh, George Clooney.
He didn't need to die.
there's many things I don't like about this movie. George Clooney is not one of them.
No.
He
does his job.
He actually does all right.
Yeah, he does his job.
He's
the likable, cocky,
older guy
astronaut who has silly stories.
I mean, like I told you before, I don't like the way they kind of shoehorn that he's meant to be likable in, where they're just like, oh, he listens to cowboy music and he's got all these stories and He's
your
calm under
he's your
pressure.
Uncle that didn't touch you.
Okay, yeah. There's that aspect as well.
Why did you do it to me? I kind of lost my composure then.
By the way, George Clooney is Jamie's uncle. You know when he says, "Hi, Freeze, I'm Batman"?
Oh, dear.
What he really meant was, "Hi, Jamie, I'm naked." Anyway, so I don't really like the way they shoehorn in that you're meant to like this guy because he listens to music in space.
Yeah.
And you're meant to like this girl because she's human.
Mm.
You know, and that's not good enough. Like, try and create some decent characters, please.
By the way...
But Clooney does all right.
I don't know if you realise this, but a couple of the characters who died, we never even saw.
Yeah.
Because...
Well, wasn't it just that... there's that Indian guy?
Not just him. There's a couple of guys in the cockpit of that... Of Explorer that die, but then we never... we just see their frozen bodies.
Yeah, because we hear them talk on the on the radio.
Yeah. But anyway.
I don't know. I don't mind that, but you could have... I don't know. They wanted to be all concept movie and only have two main characters. So you can't talk about other characters and feel anything for anyone else, you see.
Exactly. Though I felt for the Indian guy.
Because that one shot where you see what happened to him is pretty holy shit.
Yeah.
That gave me hope. I was like, is this going to get a bit darker? It doesn't.
To rein this back a little bit, if this film was about 20 minutes long and was a concept film, literally just a concept film, and what it does is it talks about space debris and it talks about the impact of space on people and relationships and emotion and stuff like that.
And you can still have your shitty metaphor if you must.
Yeah, yeah. Fine. Yeah. I would actually kind of enjoy this.
Yeah.
As a short feature. Short feature.
Yeah.
But the fact that they drag this out and they have to have all the different references and they have to throw the Russians and the Chinese under a bus and they have to have the shots of Sandra Bullock in nothing but her underwear and you have to have the CGI frog at the end and you have to have the she's crawling on the beach stuff.
And you got to have the God moment.
God
told me to be a better person.
And the bloody dog howling.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
We'll get back to the dog howling because we're not letting this go.
Yeah.
So quickly. All right.
So we tackled the sound a bit. God. I want to talk a little bit. I want to talk a little bit about the technicality of it, and then we'll come back and we'll do some more story and narrative.
And stuff. We're gonna do some nitpicks and stuff like that.
Yeah. Okay.
Then we'll get back.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Everything I'm about to say, I know, is very nitpicky, and normally in cinema you would suspend your disbelief. In Fast and Furious, why don't I do this with Fast and Furious films?
Yeah. Because, well, it's not the same.
No, I know it's not, but it's like, I'm willing to suspend my disbelief in a lot of different things, but there is a kind of a limit to suspension of disbelief, and it gets to a point where it becomes distracting.
Yeah, I mean,
when something distracts you from the story, that's when you know they've gone too far in trying to... get you to believe something.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I can't suspend my disbelief the film takes place in space because it looks good enough
to convey that.
It's still CGI, a lot of CGI and green screening.
Yes.
But it looks good enough, I can suspend my disbelief. But even though I'm not a rocket scientist...
No, okay, so...
Some things happen that I'm still like, I don't think that's how it would
go. So it did come out that Neil deGrasse Tyson, who's an astrophysicist, has said that it would be, let's say, at least improbable, if not impossible, for the transportation between Hubble Space Telescope and the International Space Station due to their orbital patterns.
Yeah. I was just like, really? You're going to do this? Like,
Because
Clooney's got this cool kind of rocket suit. All right,
yeah. But I can forgive that completely. Yeah. I can forgive that because you can't limit yourself so much that there literally is only one location in space. So they had to do something. So I can totally forgive, and that's fine. What I can't forgive is how they treat gravity itself. I'm not making a pun here. I'm being literal because. There's a scene whereby that they've hit the International Space Station.
More spoilers.
Of course, there's loads of
them. By this point.
And Sandra Bullock is hanging on to George Clooney by a rope.
Yeah.
She's just holding on to it because it's snapped off her.
Oh, the rope is on her foot, right?
No. She's caught to the space station by a rope and she's holding
George
Clooney by a rope.
True.
Okay. Now, the thing is, if all forward momentum had been killed by the fact that they've already hit the station and they've been caught in some way, which they have been, you wouldn't have continuous tension on the line that they're connected.
Yeah, because it does feel like Clooney's being pulled constantly towards one side.
Yes, exactly.
I don't think it would happen.
That wouldn't happen. all she would have to do is
just pull.
Is pull once, not rein in and not reel in, sorry, but literally just pull once, and that would create enough forward momentum for him to drift towards her and drift towards the station. Now, there are already, by that point in the film, loads of suspension of physics and everything.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But for me, that is the scene where I go, hang on, that is a distraction.
Ah, I like what you did there. Hang on.
Yeah. That's a distraction to the film.
I do agree. It felt like there was other ways it could have got away with it. Yes. Or like, she could have tangled herself more in the thing.
Yeah, but it makes you realise that they want to do this simply to be a device later on in the film, which it is a device later on in the film.
Yeah.
And also because it's a massive metaphor, of, you know, being independent, leaving your parents, and
died for her sins.
Yes, yeah, that kind of thing as well. Whereas her survival is far more guaranteed by having someone, an experienced astronaut.
Yeah, yeah.
There's another thing. NASA are not an incompetent organization. Yeah. They do not send up specialists simply because they can do a single thing that they could probably have taught someone else to do, like an astronaut, and send them up instead.
Yeah.
They don't do this. They're not silly. They don't send someone up who's clearly psychologically unstable.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, she is. She really is.
They wouldn't do this, okay? So,
I mean, for most of it, she's not really trying, and she's freaking out. Okay, I can understand freaking out, because it's...
Oh, yeah.
It's a scary situation.
Yeah.
But... Not only that, but she doesn't look like she really cares all that much. She's almost suicidal.
Yeah.
And
did you notice there's not a single wide shot of Sandra Bullock?
I don't know. Maybe
I don't think there is a single wide shot of her.
That would have been cool if they pulled back.
Yeah.
And then you just see the scene that's happening from really far away and it's really silent.
Exactly.
That could have been cool.
Exactly. Exactly. I would absolutely love that. You know, the first impact.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
In silence, complete silence.
Yeah.
Far away. Not this, she's spinning and everything and it's in your face and all the 3D and it's like, no, none of that. Pull back, show the fact that they're awesome. Tiny.
Yeah.
And that the impact is only a very insignificant thing in the grand scheme of where they are.
There's the impact.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you cut to wide and you don't expect it. And then it's really silent. And then maybe you can move in slowly from far away until you can kind of hear something.
No, until the action of it, it comes to the fore. So it basically shows itself via her ejection.
Yeah.
You know. Anyway. All right, so...
We're just making up a better version of that movie.
There are loads of other moments in this where she probably should have died. So that's some of the technicality. Now, back to the main point, which is the rebirth of Sandra Bullock. And the major theme of this entire film, you know, which is, I guess, growing up, really, isn't it? Is it growing up or is it birth and growing up?
It's a bit of both, I guess.
I guess it's a bit of both. But it's obvious. This is the thing. It's obvious metaphor. Because, again, I come back to the kind of the way this has been reviewed is massively in comparison to Stanley Kubrick's 2001. And, you know, it shouldn't be because they're on completely different levels of metaphor, specifically referring to metaphor, because the monolith and the scene with the monkeys discovering tools.
Yeah.
No, you're wrong.
Monkeys have tails. Did they have tails?
I guess not. Hang on. I don't care anymore.
Apes.
Sorry, to say apes, by the way, wouldn't it have been brilliant if at the end of the film where she's crawling on the beach...
I know.
And there's a Statue of Liberty.
No, you did it again.
Yeah. Damn it all to hell.
And no, and the statue, she looks up, and the face is George Clooney. Of the Statue of Liberty. That would have been so good.
Oh, stop it.
George Clooney in drag as the Statue of Liberty.
Sorry. Yeah, but in 2001, they're really complex metaphors.
Yeah.
Right? Really, you know, complex enough that you can basically do studies on that film and come up with new ways of interpreting that. There are very, very little ways of interpreting this film other than by the way it literally wants you to. It's shoving it in your face and saying, I want you to realize what this means.
Even the poster shows you the fucking
umbilical cord to the sun or something. Yeah. Because in 2001 with the baby in space and stuff like that, that is referring to that. And you could say that's very literal. But if you take it further and take it into the whole context of the film as well, then it means a lot more than just simply a baby in space.
Yes.
The
idea of babies in space is pretty funny.
Yeah. And it's far better because it has a ridiculous nature to it because that wouldn't happen and this film could happen at least the first 15 minutes could happen, the rest of it can't, but the first 15 minutes could happen. I want to reference a couple other things. Moon, which with Sam Rockwell and Kevin Spacey, who's the director, I've forgotten,
it's
Duncan Jones, and is a fantastic film.
Yes.
And treats sound amazingly. It treats space amazingly. It treats isolation perfectly. It treats kind of science fiction really well with the clones and the nature of the film. Sorry, spoilers for Moon.
Yeah, spoilers.
And
also, it treats, like, the character somehow gets back to Earth, but it's meaningful because what's happening after?
This is going to be messed up. Wider context to the entire thing that they're talking about.
Whereas here she gets spoilers, I guess.
The only context to this film is Hubble. That is literally the only context, is that they're at Hubble to do something.
Yeah,
and that's it. But there's nothing else. There's literally no impact to this film to a wider context. There is no context outside of it.
I'm not saying she should have met aliens and shit.
No.
But it would have been good to have something else. Something you don't expect. Because you totally know
what's going to happen. Yeah. You literally know every moment of the film. It tells you what's going to happen.
I mean, okay, for a split second, I thought the whole God scene with George Clooney actually happened, but for a split second, because I was like, that probably wouldn't happen like that. I thought it was clumsy, but then turned out it didn't happen. I was like, well, now I know what's gonna happen. There's gonna be a montage of her, you know, putting her suit on and taking care of business.
Yeah,
as they do in America.
So let's. Okay, I think we've covered most points here.
Yeah, I think so.
We talked about it a while. But let's cover one other thing, which is the reviewing industry in particular for this film.
I'm ashamed.
I want to know, because I don't quite understand why reviewers from a massive array, right? Not just your Empires and your Total Films, but your Guardians, you know, and your, I don't know, where else? Like, Rotten Tomatoes even have really good, you know, really, really high percent. Metacritic is really, really high. You know, I know that's the amalgamations.
Metacritic.
The amalgamations of other reviews and stuff. But I've only really seen one or two critical reviews of this film. Actual, proper critical reviews of this film. And one of the points that a guy brought up, and I'm sorry I can't reference him directly because I haven't got the article in front of me.
Yeah.
He talks about how this is another one of Hollywood's toy films.
Yeah.
In the sense that they've discovered this kind of way of displaying space. So what do they do? The first thing they do, blow the shit up.
Yeah.
To kind of go, oh, what's the best thing we can do with space?
Yeah.
Destroy something.
Yeah.
Is I'm not saying you can't have some of that, right? But you can't have everything. You can't have your art house and your I want to blow everything up.
Because
you can't have speed and drive I'm serious about this. You can't have Speed and Drive as the same film together. You can't mash those together and call it, you know, an art house cinema film.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah. I agree. It
felt... Or actually, you can't shove Star Wars and Moon into together and call it an art house
cinema. Of course,
you
can. Moon Wars. Star Moons. That's confusing because the moons are not stars.
So why do we think reviewers love this film? Because I'm not 100% sure about this, but I can speculate a little bit.
A lot of stuff I've heard is that they get all breathless, like what's happening in space. Right. They're like, oh my God, I couldn't even breathe. It was
but
so
is this also,
real.
Is this fairly symptomatic of the fact that, one, we haven't had a very good sci-fi for a while.
It's possible, yeah.
And we
or
haven't,
a good film.
Yeah, or a good year. Film, really, other than Only God Forgives. Or is it because there's been a lot of hype about this beforehand and people are buying into it, so people have been prepped for it, essentially?
Which I was surprised as the film Hollywood picked to, you know, throw all their eggs in that basket, because that trailer really wasn't very good. Like, the trailers I've seen before were just irritating.
Yeah, it's mostly Sandra Bullock spinning, breathing and spinning and missing stuff.
And although I'm glad that doesn't happen non-stop during
exactly,
the film.
Yes, exactly. That is one good thing.
Yeah. It's still, when it does, it's still kind of annoying. But it, I mean, there are the occasional suspenseful moment, I guess. Mm. But for me, it's ruined by just the way they're handled. Like, the music, the sound, everything, it's just not...
Framing.
Yeah, so the trailer kind of, you kind of get that feeling that you got in the trailer, that I got in the trailer. Yeah. Of kind of disappointment, inherent disappointment. And I didn't go into the film wanting to hate it.
Mm.
I kind of wanted it to be good and have more than the trailer was suggesting.
Yes, yeah. Well, no, I'm already jaded when it comes to trailers. Yeah. I know how much they, you know, cut the hell out of it and change the nature of the film by putting it into a trailer. So I don't expect the trailer to be all and end all of it.
Yeah.
So I went into this thinking, I know there are going to be moments of it that I will have to suspend my disbelief, but I didn't realise how much of a religious romp it was going to be.
I know.
And how many scenes there were in it where you were... I was literally just turned off. I was like, that's not something either I or someone I would have thought who was a professional in that environment would behave like. To mention the one scene we haven't mentioned, we should probably talk about. There's a scene where she's in a Chinese space station pod.
Yeah.
And she picks up
some
radio chatter.
Yeah.
Sorry, is she in the Russian pod? Oh, it doesn't really
matter. No, that was the Chinese pod.
She picks up some radio chatter. No, I think it. No, anyway. she picks up some chatter and she discovers it's a Chinese person, we think. We don't know, to be honest, because you can't really hear them. But it's someone on Earth. She hasn't been able to communicate ever since the first impact with anyone from NASA or the American government or any other government or institution. But she's able to pick up this one guy who has a baby and a dog and communicate very, very basically, because he doesn't speak English. Fair enough.
You don't understand that that's her family, because she's in the womb and she can hear the sound.
No, I get that.
Real father.
But it's what happens next.
Her real Chinese father.
Yeah.
Oh, that's confusing. Husband? She's going to meet a Chinese guy who has a dog.
Maybe she's going to get a dog when she gets back to Earth.
Your guess is as good as mine.
Basically, she hears the dog barking, so she starts to bark, but like really uncomfortably. Like, she really goes for it. Yeah, it's like a crying woof, woof, bark, bark.
So are we meant to suggest that she's a dog being born?
Yeah,
dogs in space.
Fine, yeah, that's more interesting. Yeah,
this but, needs to be what
the
they show at the Oscars.
She's able to pick. Yeah, the way she's able to pick up this one random guy from Earth who is in no way connected to any kind of space organization, but not any institution whatsoever on the planet, is absurd.
It's, yeah.
The only other way they could have played it is if she was basically schizophrenic.
Yeah.
And if she was schizophrenic, again, I come back to the fact that NASA don't send people who are schizophrenic into space.
Yeah.
You know, they do pretty thorough, you know, research and training for their astronauts.
There's a few key things I didn't buy. I didn't buy Clooney sacrificing himself for that happened fast and without build up, really.
Because it's anime month,
oh,
I looked for a reference to anime for this film.
Interesting.
There is a series called Planets.
Planets.
Or Planets. Planets.
I don't know. Planets.
However you want to say it.
Planetes.
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 It's a fairly modern anime series.
Uh-huh.
And it's on this topic. It's a sci-fi, so it's set in the future a bit. There's a moon base. And the main character is an engineer who collects debris. Because there's so much debris around the Earth already.
Yeah.
Him and his company are commissioned. But it's in sci-fi. It's fantastic series. It's got a lot of drama. It's got romance. It's got terrorism. It's got lots of different things all in space. It tackles his ambitions. It tackles what it's like to live in space. It tackles the kind of job and the nature of them living on a space station. It's a really good series, and I recommend people watching it.
Yeah.
Because it's a really good drama. Mm. It's not like this where it's trying to be, you know, art house. It's not that at all. It's just a very good drama in space that deals with a similar subject, which is space debris and the perils around space debris. And one of the things, I didn't really learn it from this, I knew about it already, was that space debris is so dangerous. It doesn't matter really how big it is. It's traveling at such a speed. It's
faster than a bullet.
Yeah, faster than a bullet. It will literally, whatever it hits, it will pretty much go through.
Yeah.
Like a bullet and will destroy stuff. And it's a real issue that actually is being dealt with today to some extent, not in terms of collection, but there's organizations that track all the space debris.
Yeah.
Well,
I guess that's what happened to the Indian guy in the film.
Yes.
Just in the face.
Yes. That was at least one literal, you know, thing that could happen.
Yeah, I bought that. I was like, that would probably happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Surprised it didn't happen more.
Yes, that's the thing. She survives it three times.
Oh, God. Once by being so slow. She's just climbing around. It's like, I don't really want to go in there. And then another time she's going a bit faster, so fair enough.
Yeah.
But, do you remember the end? Like, after the film. Well, there's a CGI frog at the end, first of all.
Bloody hell.
Not sure why. To cater for the 3D.
Yes. There's a lot of catering to the 3D.
Oh, there's a drop of water that lands on the lens.
Which wouldn't happen due to surface tension, but anyway. Yeah, no, they break the fourth wall. We didn't talk about that.
It's a bit weird.
They break the fourth wall because they have dirt at the end, you know, go up onto the lens.
There's a pen that floats a lot. A lot.
Oh, yeah. Apparently, space stations are really messy as well. Yeah.
And pens. That pen got more screen time than Clooney. That's crazy. But also, the film ends.
Yeah.
Suddenly, cuts to black. Bow. Gravity.
Yeah.
There's some titles, some credits. Yeah. And then, bam! Gravity.
Yeah, they say it.
What's that?
You know that literally the ego of the director in this film, because he has to show the title essentially three times.
Yeah,
beginning and twice at the end. To like make sure you realize what you just watched.
I know. I wouldn't be surprised if at the end of the whole credits, it just went, bam, gravity.
Yeah, again. We didn't stay long enough.
No. I was like, let's get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
I guess we should cut it short. Well, short. We've been talking for half an hour. Would you recommend Gravity? And what's your final thought on it?
Let's just let the silence dictate.
Oh, yeah, the silence.
No!
So,
it's a big fat fuck off. No.
No.
Do not see this film, please. If you've listened to this, you probably don't either care or you've already seen it.
And if you disagree with us, fine.
No, fine if you if you disagree, I'm happy. But remember, all right, remember a couple of things.
If the movie grabbed you, fair enough.
Me and Adam, by the way, are not professional reviewers. We're just moviegoers.
Yeah.
We like to enjoy cinema as much as the next. I know our ramblings aren't necessarily as well constructed or like professionally, analytically, you know, perfect. If you want those kind of reviews, there are plenty out there in terms ones that aren't critical, unfortunately, when it comes to this film. No. There are a couple of really good critical ones out there.
You might want to steer clear of Empire magazine though, because what they're doing lately is a bit like, what? Yeah. Do you know what the guy said in the his review of Gravity?
No,
I think his name was Ian Nathan or something.
Yeah.
Kubrick would have stood up and clapped.
Oh, piss off. Oh, God damn it. Blood. No, he wouldn't.
No, Kubrick.
He would have left by about 5 minutes, I think.
Kubrick would have set his typewriter and written something better.
He did. He did already.
Eyes Wide Shut is better than this.
Yeah, that's true.
Even AI is better.
Yeah, to a certain extent, yes.
Anyway, I don't recommend it either, in case you haven't noticed. I thought it was pretentious, overblown, clumsy, honestly, and very cheesy at times.
And deliberate. It's deliberate.
And manipulative. It's complete.
Yes, that's the word. Deliberately manipulative.
And I didn't think Sandra Bullock was good in it.
No, I didn't either.
I thought she was overacting a little bit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Hamming it up completely.
And the writing wasn't believable. I didn't think the lines that most of these, characters, two of them, were saying were believable.
Yeah.
The only thing to come out of this movie that, with any true dignity, is, I guess, the visual department
did a decent job. Yeah. I'm not saying, the thing is that it's not, everyone keeps touting this as something new. It's not.
No.
They did Zero Gravity, right? I know they did it a different method.
Yeah.
But the display of it, of Zero Gravity, has been done before and well.
Yeah.
I look at Apollo 13 in 1995.
Or if you want to see something that's really metaphorical, but more interesting, try Into, what was it called? The Wild Blue Yonder, which is a Werner Herzog film.
Yes, yes.
Which is completely metaphorical without being overblown. It's like it actually shows astronauts in zero gravity.
Yes.
And it makes a sci-fi story out of that footage. Mm. And it's really interesting the way he did it. And it compares underwater with space. And that's a much more interesting film with more interesting themes. So I would definitely recommend that. I just didn't think this film lived up to its premise, really. And I didn't think its premise was all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, good things about it. Clooney is all right.
He's okay.
Visuals are solid.
To an extent, yeah.
Occasionally, there's a suspenseful moment. CGI frog.
Shut up.
Bullock barking is always funny.
It's funny, but it's totally unnecessary.
Yeah, it made me a bit uncomfortable. It's like, oh my God. And that's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, we'll end that section there.
Yeah. That's the end of the big review. We'll be back next time with something else. In the meantime, let's try and do the big recall. We'll do it quickly.
Yeah. And because it's anime month, we're going to recall some...
Anime!
Anime.
So yeah, the big recall this week is anime-themed again, because we've got loads more to talk about. Retro anime to recommend, or...
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we're going to stick with sort of retro anime.
Yeah.
They tend to be better, but I mean, there's a few gems recently. Exactly. But, you know.
We'll do like one series and talk about one series and one movie, usually.
Yeah.
We'll try and mix it up and find some bad ones as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But for now... I'm going to talk about Maison Ikkoku, which I used to watch in France, and it wasn't called Maison Ikkoku.
What was it called in France?
Juliette, je t'aime. Which translates to Juliette, I love you.
Yeah, I knew it was going to be that.
Yeah, because Juliette...
Wait, there isn't even a... What?
Juliette is Kyoko.
Yeah, but the name's not Juliette.
I know.
And
whatever his name is, Godai, the main character, and his name is Hugo.
Yeah.
Hugo.
Oh, no.
Oh, so funny. good times.
So they literally changed the dub.
Oh, yeah. They did their own song for it and everything. It's awesome.
So this, like, over 100 episode epic series, yeah, which, you know, all takes place over a year or two.
Really? I didn't know that. Well, I guess, yeah. Yeah, it's like while he's at college and then...
Yeah.
He's got these exams and then he passes them. So yeah. I guess it's, yeah.
It's over a year.
Well, the series were made in the 80s, 80 yeah. to 87, I think it is.
Yeah.
And then there was a live action and then there was
an
animated feature. It's set in a boarding house and it's got a 20-year-old guy called Godai, although his first name is Yusaku, who is kind, he's not lazy, although he has trouble focusing, I guess.
He's a bit immature.
Yeah.
Let's say that.
He has trouble focusing mostly because the people that live in that boarding house are insane.
Yeah. But that's the look, this is a comedy.
Oh, yeah. It's a romantic comedy.
Yeah, it's a romantic comedy.
And it's very lighthearted. But
yeah, and it's done very well.
It's got a nostalgic feel to it as well.
It's aimed at children, I think.
I don't know. I would say teenagers, though.
Okay.
Because it feels more like it's got its melodramatic moments.
Yeah, but it's also got its kind of moral.
True. Yeah.
Pointers in it as well.
But you've got a character that fucking makes a hole through Godai's bedroom.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Just comes and bothers him.
Yeah,
constantly. Teases him.
Yeah.
And you've got a little kid, the really loud-mouthed kind of mother. Yeah. Who else?
All characters.
There's that girl that's always pretty much naked
around
the house. There's boobs in this show all the time. Yeah. That's why it's not for kids.
All right. Fair enough. I mean, yeah, I'll give you that.
She's basically naked this whole time. And basically this...
But it's... Yeah. It's not gratuitous.
No,
and
it's
not... It's no. What I mean not by that, it's not over sexualized or hypersexualized. It's not hypersexualized. No. So
it's and she's not even like they don't make too much of that character like that. She's more just goofy and kind of.
Well, it's comedy of body. You know.
Yeah. I mean, there's
just because we have this prudish nature in the West that breasts are meant to be covered up and stuff like that. A lot of the rest of the world are like, breasts are funny. And they can be. But they can. You know, parts of the body can be funny.
And I don't know. I think it's mostly it's mostly that she is walking around the house wearing so little.
No, I know. No, but the thing is, she knows that she can use them to her advantage in the situations that she's given.
That's true.
And I'm not saying that's an empowering thing, but it's just what it is.
Yeah, and it's mostly to continue the idea that they're distracting him.
Yes.
From his
work.
Yes,
exactly.
Because there's nothing more distracting.
They are used as a vehicle.
To a young, straight student than
boobs. Yeah. But that's where the comedy comes into it. It's like it's that obsession that a teenage boy might have with boobs, you know?
And, I mean, the story follows a girl called Kyoko, who's meant to be a bit older than
Godai. Yeah, she is, Godai. She is.
And she becomes the new manager of the boarding house.
Yeah.
And that both brings kind of problems and good things, because she's a good manager in that she can kind of keep these tenants to calm down a little bit.
Yes.
And help, I was going to call him Hugo.
Just be genuinely nicer to each other.
Yeah. And just get Godai-san to focus a little on this stuff.
Yeah.
She really tries to push him. And it's difficult for him because she's another distraction in a way.
Yes.
Because he falls in love with her.
Yeah.
And so he gets all nervous around her and can't stop thinking about
it. But he's also very unsuccessful.
Yeah. So that's more frustration and distractions, even though she's really honestly trying to help him. And she's got a troubled past, which we delve into very melodramatic flashbacks.
That comes quite a bit later, actually.
Yeah. And occasionally there's further things that keep him away from her. Like there's a handsome tennis coach
who
comes up and you're just like, shit, another problem. But
he's quite funny.
He's quite funny, yeah. Because he reveals he's got a flaw as well.
Yeah.
He's afraid of dogs.
Yeah.
And Kyoko happens to have this huge dog.
Yeah.
And there's other distractions like that throughout. It's a really funny show.
Yeah.
It looks really nice. Like, it's got...
It looks a lot like Ranma.
A bit better than Ranma. Ranma's definitely more kid-friendly looking.
Yeah. Though, boobs in that as well.
Yeah, I guess. and pandas.
Yeah.
I don't know why I put these two together.
And gender bending. And, yeah.
But it's the same person that did Ranma.
Yeah.
One and a half. But I've always kind of liked both.
Yeah,
but,
no, they're good. They're good comedies. Ways. I think they're quite good comedies that are... They can be transported to the West because there's a lot of kind of slapstick and,
as well,
you know, comedy in this. And No, I enjoy them. They're not something to be really ultra serious about. No, they're something to chill out with.
Exactly, And I mean, Maison Cuckoo always has a special place in my heart.
Yeah.
Because
of when you watched it.
Yeah, because it's got a nostalgic feeling.
Because I watched it not that long ago, like when I was early 20s.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it, but probably not in the same way you did.
No, no. Because then I remember watching it when I was younger and stuff. And I'm a big fan of Maison Cuckoo, as people who know me know.
Yeah.
A bit of background. It was based on a manga by Rumiko Takahashi.
Yeah.
Who... it's him, I think, who did Ranma and a Half as well.
Oh, okay.
I might be wrong. He wanted it to be a romance that could happen in the real world. And it's, to a certain extent, it's believable.
Yeah.
Though dogs don't really make faces like they do. Yeah. But that's a nitpick, really. And I need to watch that live-action movie because it looks terrible. And I want to be angry.
Yeah.
So this, because I made you angry by forcing you to watch Dragon Ball Evolution.
Oh, because you're going to do this to yourself.
Man. Yeah, this would be a good way for payback. Now,
just showing the Japanese, like Hollywood, are willing to bring anything back.
Exactly.
That might hold some kind of childhood.
Like Kiki's Delivery Service.
Yeah. Which
they've shown a little bit more footage.
Oh, God.
Looks ass.
Yeah.
So yeah, I do really recommend Maison Cuckoo. Hmm. It's a great show from the 80s.
Some light entertainment.
Yep.
Really.
With a heart.
Yes.
What do you have to recommend? Mine is
completely different. we're going serious blood, gore, tits, and not boobs anymore, tits.
you stepped it up enough.
Yeah, yeah. I'm talking about Ninja Scroll.
Ninja tits.
Yeah, actually. It's quite a famous one. Ninja Scrolls is quite famous.
I haven't seen it. It's famous.
Yeah, no, it's quite famous, but I must admit, not a lot of people have seen it necessarily. Even people who are into anime, because you know, it wasn't necessarily heavily marketized.
Marketized.
Yeah, I'm gonna leave that. It was, it came out and it's been dubbed and everything in American accents and stuff. It's a very basic premise story.
Yeah.
It's a samurai western with fantasy and supernatural powers.
And loads of screaming.
Lots of screaming.
From the trailer.
Yeah, but not superpowers like Dragon Ball Z, but mutation type superpowers.
It looks more like a bit like what's it called? Fist of the North Star, a little bit.
I'll give you that. Yeah, it's got the more big beefy men and the pecs and the... You know, and the things like that, and it's got a very basic premise of trying to defeat these eight devils, and there's a boss, and it's just like a video game, really.
Because when you say tits, you meant male tits as well.
Oh yes, yeah, both female.
Let's not discriminate.
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah.
Tits can be male tits.
Lots of blood, gore, and stuff, and it's sort of. I mean, there were animes before this that did the whole thing, but I think this does it. Really well.
Is it more action-y?
Oh, it's completely gratuitous.
Okay.
Action-packed.
Completely different than Maison Cuckoo.
Splatter, blood, everything you can hope for these kind of things. So if you want to switch off your head and just watch something explode in your face, then watch Ninja Scroll, the film I'm referring to rather than the series.
Is it 90s? Yeah.
It's 93.
Okay.
I think it's definitely worth watching because it does, if you haven't really been into the genre much at all, about ninjas and samurai and that, this is something to watch because it really gives you the basic premise of pretty much most ninja stroke samurai anime. Okay. So, you know, this is a good entry point for a lot of people, which is probably why it was brought over to the West.
Cool.
And yeah, I totally recommend it. The director is, I'm going to try and say this, I apologize.
Good
already.
Luck.
Yoshiaki Kawajiri.
What?
Yoshi.
No, why did you blend both names into one word?
You try.
Yoshiaki Kawajiri.
That was much better. Yeah. Take him. There so, you go. And Kevin Seymour.
And Kevin Seymour?
Yeah.
What?
Okay. I know.
Fair enough.
Yeah. It was
anyway. It was a co-directed film.
And a co-directed film from a Westerner. That's cool. Great.
So,
recommend. I totally recommend someone watch it the fun of it.
Good stuff.
Definitely not recommended for kids. It's an 18. All right, 18 plus, definitely.
Yeah, kids go, R-rated. Just stick to Ranma.
Yeah.
Ranma!
I don't know. With any of these types of things, just pre-approve.
Yeah. Kids will find a way to watch it anyway.
Yeah, I know.
That's it.
Let's
move on to the big game, which will be something familiar to you.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll be anime related.
Go on.
Let's do this. I shat myself.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I'm bringing it back.
Yes.
Just for this one. If you're not familiar with I Shat Myself, it's a game where I sing something as William Shatner, as a terrible impression of William Shatner, and you, the people at home, have to guess what I'm singing. You can do so by sending us an email, bigrewindpodcast@gmail.com, and we'll shout you out in our shout-out section next week. Are you ready?
As always.
This time it's anime-themed, so it can... It's a series, let's just put it. It's an anime series that you guys are going to have to guess at home, which you'll probably guess very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You ready?
Yeah.
You're not ready. You're not ready.
I'm totally ready. Go on.
All right, let's do this. I want to be the very best. Like no one ever was. To catch them is my real test. To train them is my cause. I will travel across the land. Searching. Finding why. Teach them all. To understand the power that's inside. Ah! That's it. Just wanted to end with a scream. I replaced the word that if I say it, then...
If someone wants a clue, Herman Cain used a part of the film in a speech of his.
Of only the first movie. Ah, that's another clue.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so you won't win awards to guess this one,
easy.
You'll get a shout out. That's more than enough. Speaking of which, let's go to the shout outs for this week. Oh my god! Now you've got a shout out.
Yes.
You've got something. You've got it, man.
I did say earlier there was like a couple of critical reviews I read of Gravity. It took me a little while to find one of these, and one of the critical reviews that I found was by someone called Jeffrey Overstreet.
Sorry, I don't know why that's funny.
I know, Jeffrey.
It's Overstreet.
It was Jeffrey Overstreet on the website www.overstreet.com. No. pathos.com/blogs/looking closer/author/Jeffrey Overstreet. Now, I don't know if that's his website or some other website.
What if you
but
type,
that's where I saw the review.
What if you type Jeffrey Overstreet and then Gravity?
You'll probably get it that way.
So
to be honest, I've only just realized what this website is.
Oh, okay.
It says... A Pathos hosting the conversation on faith.
What?
I have no idea. Of course, because the had religious kind of connotations to it. This guy actually talks about it, but he talks about it in a critical manner, and I enjoyed reading it, so I thought I should
fair enough
give it a shout. And I apologize if I've, you know,
because
weirded people out by by all of this.
Because it seemed like that studio, I don't know, was it 20th Century Fox? Or was it Warner Brothers? Well, it was Warner Brothers. Remember. Warner Brothers. Because remember, it's all grey when it comes up before the film. It seems like they've paid off a lot of people to say good things about it.
It could have been, yeah. There's always that kind of...
You're not going to get... I don't know, maybe you will, but... critical reviews of the movie are harder to find than...
Yeah.
Oh, that movie's so good! Reviews.
Yeah.
So, that's your shout-out?
That's my shout-out, yeah.
Well, all right. That's a bit strange.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
Thank you, person that I haven't read the
article from. Oh, I'll show it to you.
All right. My shout-out for this week, I'm making up right now, it's me! that's when I can't think of anything.
Oh, you egomaniac.
Sorry, you can follow me at The Retro Critic and my blog, which is the epicenter of anime month, is retrocriticblog.blogspot.com. And I'll have a better shout out next week, sorry. Hopefully from someone who's guessed my song for I Shat Myself.
Cool.
We'll be back next time with a review of a film. I don't know what film's coming out.
Oh, all the big one.
Because all the blockbusters came out at the same time.
Yeah, no.
And Ender's Game thought it was a good idea to get released at the same time as Thor, which was not not a good idea.
No, that wasn't really.
Not smart.
Counselor! Counselor. I'm looking forward to that. The Counselor, Javier Bardem, Brad Pitt, Cruz, Diaz, Fassbender!
It's a Vanilla Sky reunion.
Oh, yeah.
Not really.
Oh.
Sort of. Yeah.
Alright.
Good stuff. And we'll try and see Machete Kills if we can.
Yes.
And look out for that on YouTube.
An escape plan.
Yeah. Thanks for watching.
Alright. Thanks.
Bye. I'm floating away.
I'm spinning, I can't see anything.
Listen to my voice, freeze. What the fuck? I don't know.